Now, if you've been at Prince of Faith for worship during the season of Lent, you'll know that during this time we've been exploring different spiritual practices, different things that can help, well, both to characterize the life of a disciple of Jesus and can help us to also grow in our relationship with God. You see, Jesus didn't tell his first disciples, go into all the world and invite people to be members of the church. Right? He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That's our reality. To be a Christian is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We listen to him. We learn from him what it means to follow. We share what we've discovered and experienced with others, and we help each other to grow in our relationship with God. Now, on the first Sunday in Lent, for those who weren't here, I'm going to catch you up. We started off by looking at the importance of prayer in the life of a disciple, not simply reading printed prayers at certain times like Sunday mornings, although there's nothing wrong with that, but daily, continuous conversation with God, wherever we are and whatever we're doing. To help us remember to do that, we handed out little sticky dots you could put on your watch or on your phone or on the mirror of your car, wherever you might see it during the day. Whenever you see it, you can go, oh yeah, time to pray, right? Just that gentle reminder. Continue that conversation. Then on the second Sunday in Lent, we looked at worship and explored how this means not only coming together as God's people on Sunday mornings, but intentionally doing everything that we do, every moment of every day, as if we were doing it for God. Doing everything that we do to the glory of God. Living lives that are themselves worship. On the third Sunday in Lent, we talked about reading the Bible, not just reading it, but studying it, living with it in our thoughts, growing more and more in our understanding of who God is and what it means to be a Christian. I mean, most households do have a Bible, but the reality is that most households only use it as a nice place to keep their dust collection, right? And yet it's through the Bible that God has revealed himself to us. It's the Bible, the Word of God, that we claim to be authoritative for our lives as Christians. And we wouldn't trust our lives to a surgeon who'd never actually read a medical textbook, right? And yet there are so many people who will say that they're a Christian, but who have no idea what the Bible actually says. For them, the Bible is uncharted, unfamiliar territory. So as disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to read the Bible and let God speak to us through it. On the fourth Sunday in Lent, we talked about the role of service in the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we looked at how there's a basic flaw in what has often become the norm in the church. That is, the pastor or the priest is seen as being primarily responsible for doing ministry. All right? That's why we get paid the big bucks. The reality is that each and every Christian is called to service, to living what we believe in such a way that we reach out to others. We care for share together in the work that God is calling us to do. Last Sunday, we focused on the importance of relationships. Think of these as spiritual friendships and how important it is to intentionally nurture these friendships with others with whom we share faith in Christ so that we can help each other to grow in our faith. We can encourage each other. We can support one another. We can learn and grow and live our faith out together. Today, we're looking at a sixth spiritual practice, giving. Now, when I first started looking at this series, the timing didn't really click in for me, that we'd be looking at giving on Palm Sunday. But I don't think there could be much of a better day for that. I mean, this is the day when we remember Jesus' entry into the city of Jerusalem, the day on which he was welcomed in as the king. It's also the day when our focus shifts and we begin to look ahead to Good Friday, as we remember why Jesus entered that city that day. He came knowing full well that that same road he was on would lead to the cross. He came knowing that the same crowd that at that moment was welcoming him would in less than a week be screaming for his blood. He came knowing that it would mean giving everything, his very life, so that you and I could be given new life. New life and relationship with God. So this day, when we focus on God's ultimate gift of love to us, well, I don't think there could be a better time to explore the question of what we also give to God in response. As we do this, I want to make one thing really clear. The way this question has often been addressed has not been either helpful or good. What's often happened is that giving has been turned into legalism, and it's only focused in on one area. 10% of your gross cash income has to be given to the church, period. Anything else is gravy. There are actually some churches that, scary as it may seem, will ask members for their income tax assessment so they can make sure they're giving every penny that they're supposed to, because the Bible says give a tenth, right? We don't do that, by the way. I know we don't have a Prince of Faith. I'm pretty sure St. George's doesn't either. Right? Oh, good. When this happens, when that's the attitude toward giving, giving is no longer our grateful response to what God has done for us. Instead, what God intended to be grace becomes law. Is it any wonder that so few pastors are comfortable with talking about giving? Or why so many people in the church at best tune out? Or in some cases get upset and say things like, I've actually heard this, pastor, if you ever talk about money, I'm leaving the church. That wasn't here, by the way, but I have encountered that previously. But when we talk about giving, it's about far more than our wallets. Our wallets are part of the picture, yes, but they aren't the whole picture. When I was growing up, the words we'd often hear were time, talents, and treasures. You ever heard that phrase? Okay, good. It can be a very helpful way to think about giving. I mean, really, tell me, what is there that isn't a gift to us from God? Let's start with the most basic level of our existence, our physical lives, our ability to breathe, having a heart that pumps blood through our arteries and veins, a mind that we can think with, bones that can help us to walk, to stand up, to pick things up, our skin that keeps everything that's supposed to be inside, inside, and everything that's not supposed to be there, outside. Theoretically, it doesn't always work that way. Even the way our bodies work, with parts that take nutrition into our bodies and process it, other parts that eliminate the garbage our bodies can't use, still other parts that allow us to experience the world around us, to taste and hear and see and touch and smell. All of these are gifts from God. Then there are the abilities that we have, abilities that allow us to enjoy life in this world. They also allow us to do the things that we need to do in order to earn the paycheck that we need to be able to buy the groceries that we need to be able to give our bodies the nutrition that they need. You get the cycle, right? All of these things are gifts. How about the time that we have? Every day, each one of us has 86,400 seconds of life. Break that down a different way. That's 1,440 minutes to divide between sleeping, eating, working, playing, going to the bathroom, reading, watching TV, or however we choose to use that time. When we look at this over a period of 1 week, anybody doing the math? That gives us 168 hours or 10,080 minutes or 604,800 seconds. Doesn't matter how you slice it, it's all the same pie. And it's all a gift given to us. You'll notice I haven't even touched on some of the other gifts that God gives us, gifts like the beautiful world around us that he's entrusted to our care. Or the gift of the people with whom we share life. The gift of technology that is so interwoven with our lives, shaping them in so many ways, even if sometimes Sunday mornings we have technical glitches, right? We haven't even talked about the most amazing gift that God gives to us, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of relationship with God, the gift of new life in Christ. I think the question for us as disciples of Jesus is this, recognizing that all of these things are gifts to us from God. What will we do with them? How do we use those gifts? Do we hoard them away to ourselves? Do we divide them up grudgingly? Do we even stop to think about what we give back to God in thankfulness for all that God has given us? Some people do. Some people are very aware and very intentional about seeing all of life as gift and giving back to God from what God's given them. But I would guess that most people, even people within the church, seldom opt to really think about this. They may give of their time or their abilities, their material things, but perhaps sometimes only as an afterthought or out of a sense of, well, I should, without any sense of intentionality. And when you think about this, is that really giving out of gratitude? I don't think so. Is it giving freely out of the abundance that God has given us? Or is it giving out of a sense of obligation, right? Giving the leftovers? What it comes down to, why it's so important to give, is because it's good for us. It is so easy in our possession-obsessed, consumer-driven world to let the acquisition of stuff become the primary focus. I remember seeing a bumper sticker some years ago that said, whoever dies with the most toys wins. Right? Now, whoever dies with the most toys dies. Hate to break it to you. Pretty well sums up the attitude, though, in a lot of our society. Along with this, we so easily become focused only on ourselves and begin to think that everything we have because we deserve it. We've earned it. We have a right to it. We're entitled to it. And in slipping into that mindset, it's so easy to forget that it's a gift. Have we worked for what we have? Yes, I'm not questioning that. What I am saying is that we need to back the train up a little bit. You see, our ability to function as we do, to do the work that we do, to think as we do, where did all of that come from in the first place? It's gift, all of it. And when we remember this, when we realize that everything we have is a gift from God, then we can begin to respond to God's goodness and gratitude and generosity. That's when our outlook on life can begin to change. So practically speaking, what does this mean? How can we actually begin to enact this spiritual practice of giving? Well, first, I believe we need to begin to change our attitude, to begin to change our level of awareness, to strive to be intentional about seeing everything we have as that gift, to begin to recognize our total dependence on God. Secondly, we need to become intentional about how we use what we've been given. All of that we've been given. How much do we actually give back in gratitude to God? For example, when we stop to look at the time that we've been given, how much of our time do we give intentionally and thankfully to God? Well, for an awful lot of people, it boils down to 1 hour a week on Sunday morning, right? If that. And when we stop and look at it carefully, that's approximately 60 minutes out of our 10,080 minutes per week, depending on how long-winded the preacher is, right? That's one half of 1% of our time. What happens if worship runs over by a little bit of time? What if there's a few extra announcements? Well, this doesn't bother some people, but I've known people who get downright cranky about that. So one Sunday, I knew one guy's looking at his watch, went, "Hey, you like watching the game, don't you?" "Oh, yeah." "What happens if the team goes into overtime?" "Oh, that's awesome. We just hit overtime, buddy." How can we use our time so that it becomes an expression of gratitude to God for all that God has given us? We can look at the abilities that God has given us. Where do we focus these? Is our focus on using them primarily for ourselves? Have we considered if there may be some way we can use these abilities to further the work that God has called us, God's people, to be a part of, to do together? What might these be? Have we thought about those? Are we intentional about it? Do we use our abilities in such a way that their use is itself an expression of gratitude to God? What about the financial side? Yep, I'm talking about the money now. But I'm not talking about that legalistic 10% or else. I want to encourage you simply to stop and think about it. How much the resource that God has given us do we give back to God for the benefit of God's mission that we're a part of? Have we ever stopped to really look at that? Now, in the Bible, it does talk about giving a tithe, 10%. But even if we take that figure, if we turn it around, that means out of everything God has given us, God says, "Hey, I want you to keep 90% of that and do whatever you want with it." Well, you wish Revenue Canada was that generous? That'd be nice. By the way, remember, what's given to God through donations actually reduces the amount you have to give the government. Just a little by the way, right? Added bonus. Again, I'm not proposing any of this as legalism. I do want to encourage you, though, to stop and take a look at it in your own life. How are you giving from what you've been given? What level is that at? You might know already. You might be surprised at what you discover. And consider that as maybe a goal to work toward giving a tithe. Here's one thing that the Bible says about it. Through the prophet Malachi, God says, "Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury. So there'll be ample provision in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams." And here's something that Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." Now, I know different people's situations are different. I know there are situations where the check coming in doesn't quite stretch to the end of the month. But as I've said, this isn't legalism. It's really a question of desire. Stop and just take a look at it. Be intentional about what you're giving in all areas of your life. You see, in all of this, whether we're thinking about our time, our talents, our treasures, it's a question of intentionality. Are we intentional about what we do with what God has given us? Out of all that God has given us, are we giving freely and in gratitude? Or is our focus on ourselves first? And after that, well, maybe. When I began this morning, I said I thought this was a perfect day to talk about giving. And I mean that. I mean, look at what Jesus gave to us. Not only our lives and all that's in them, he even gave his life for us. How do we respond? I want to leave you with something to think about. I hope I've given you something to think about already. Some time ago, I received a letter from someone connected with a Canadian food grains bank. And across the top of this letter was a quote that stuck with me. It said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." May God, who gave so generously of himself, help us to give in gratitude. Amen.